Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey, friends, welcome to episode 608. Of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, going solo this week and next week, but wanted to hop on and talk this week specifically about the summer of 2011. Hard to believe it was 15 years ago. And last week, Chad and I sat down and did the summer of 96, 30 years ago. Hard to believe that, even more so, in the formation of the NWO. And it got me to thinking and getting a little nostalgic and remembering back to the summer of 2011 and the spring too, because really the story kind of starts in the spring of 2011. And for my wrestling fandom slash brand building of My 1-2-3 Cents, which, by the way, if you're watching, this is the original My 1-2-3 Cents t-shirt. Chad came up with this design. And I think One Hour Tees, or what is known now as Pro Wrestling Tees, actually printed this, but little nostalgic and retro, if you will. And it's weird saying something from 2011 is retro. So I guess it's probably not really technically retro, but as the brand evolved, and if you are watching, you know, you see Mondo the Monkey here right next to that ring with the My 1-2-3 Cents in the middle of it. It was a great time. It was really the launch of My 1-2-3 Cents. The brand started in the fall of, I guess, late summer of 2010. So not even a year old was the My 1-2-3 Cents name and brand. The podcast didn't exist yet. The YouTube channel was going, and the blog. That's really where it all kind of started, was with the blog. And my dream, my goal at the time, because I was working in TV news in the time as well. So that afforded me some opportunities to make arrangements and get interviews with wrestlers who were coming into the area or even a little further away. And again, this is before the podcast. So I was taking those interviews and putting them together for the newscast. But then I would take the longer form of that and use it on the My 1-2-3 Cents YouTube channel. And that year of 2011, man, I lucked out and I really had some great opportunities. And that's kind of what I'm going to do today, is reflect and look back on the summer of 2011. And like I said, it all kind of started in the spring with Chris Hagstrom with All American Pro Wrestling. And we've talked about the All American Pro Wrestling concept, AAPW. It was a local indie promotion in Southern Illinois and had been around for a while before I even moved to the area. And after moving here and going to some of the shows as a fan, I was able to meet some of the people behind the scenes and that were part of the company. And one of them being Chris Hagstrom, who was getting ready to set up a project for the students he was teaching in a video production class on doing their own wrestling show. And he had reached out to me, and we had never, I think we had kind of casually met, but not like became friends or anything like that. And he had messaged me through Facebook and asked if I'd be interested in doing commentary for the project. And again, at that time it was a project. It wasn't really a full-fledged going to be on TV or YouTube or anything. It was just going to be kind of maybe a one and done. Well, I was not going to be in town for the recording. It was happening at SIU. This was the very first AAPW Collision taping. I was going to actually be in Atlanta for WrestleMania that year. Chad and I and our buddy Travis joined us that year. And so we ended up doing the commentary post show at Chris's apartment, and it was interesting because I'd never done anything like that before. And then, you know, as a kid, I knew that it wasn't in the cards for me to be a wrestler, but maybe I could be a manager, maybe I could do commentary, maybe I could do backstage interviews. And so those were the things I was always thinking about, but never really trying to pursue them. Well, then this opportunity comes along and we're able to do it. And we had some of the wrestlers on the TV, on the morning news, because it turned out that Chris got a deal to put Collision on WSIL on Saturday mornings every other week. And then we would supplement those shows with a YouTube exclusive show as well. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, though, in the production and putting things together. And I was a very small part of that. Chris did all the heavy lifting. Our friend Adam Testa, who I developed a friendship with along the way as well, was helping with the booking and the promotion of the product. He was writing for the Southern Illinoisan at the time, the newspaper here in Southern Illinois, and was helping to promote things in that end, and then making connections with other independent wrestlers from around the region. And then I had met Tyler Heath Hatton a little earlier, but really became better friends with him because we'd be there on those Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings setting up the ring and then sticking around to tear it down. And so got to know him and Curly and Edmund Livewire McGuire, Axe Allwort, Gaylord Stevens, Farmer Billy Hills, Justice. There was just a ton of guys that I was getting to know through all of that. And so we kind of got into our routine, and it was turning into a lot of fun. And it's a really great memory for me. And it helped me, obviously being an employee at the TV station and working in TV, it gave me some confidence. And then doing this, I think both of them kind of helped each other because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. You know, you think you sit there and you're going to look at the monitor and call a match and there it's that, but there's a lot more that goes into that. And so I, again, am grateful and thankful for the opportunity. Well, that's, one part of the summer of 2011. Instead of the summer of Punk, it's the summer of Kevin in 2011. Hey, that rhymes. But anyway, that spring, part of our area had gotten hit with some pretty severe flooding in El Dorado, Illinois specifically. And Bert Prentice, who was a wrestling promoter from the Tennessee area, but he promoted shows here in Southern Illinois and maybe even in Missouri and Kentucky. But he had reached out because he was going to be promoting a show in El Dorado to help raise money for the flood victims and asked if I could help get the word out about it. And I, of course, ran it on the news and all that kind of stuff. Well, he mentioned that Mickey James was going to be coming in as a guest. I'm not sure how long she had been gone from WWE at this point. I believe she was the TNA Knockouts champion, though, at this time, because when she was here, she had a championship belt. Almost positive I'm right about that. But she came in and I asked Bert, hey, can I interview Mickey for the news and for my YouTube channel? And he agreed. She agreed. And so we went over. I say we. My daughter went with me. She was like 6 or so at the time, 5 or 6 years old. But anyway, we go over there. Mickey couldn't have been nicer to both of us. I don't think she wrestled that night. I think she just signed autographs and did pictures and stuff like that. But there was a lot of fans there. And, again, that was another one of those opportunities that had it not been for the news. And then me reaching out and talking to Bert. And I had talked to Bert a few times previously when Jerry Lawler had come to town and wrestled. I hadn't got to interview him just on the phone at that point. So this was an in-person. And again, I was looking for content to build. And to this day, that interview with Mickey is the most watched piece of content on the My123Cents YouTube channel. So if you haven't already, check that out. It is a good conversation. It's pretty quick. That's the thing with doing these wrestling interviews is I don't want to ever impede on someone's time. And now, as I've gotten more comfortable and more professional, and, you know, I mean, back then I was literally just taking my phone. I didn't even have a microphone or anything. And this was the early incarnations of the iPhone. So it was not, you know, I don't know that the quality of the video probably holds up today. But I am grateful again to have had the opportunity to do that, which then parlayed itself into a couple weeks later, TNA comes to town for a Bass Brawl event. And I reached out, and I don't remember how I did it, but I reached out to the TNA office and ended up getting D'Lo Brown to come in live on the morning show. And we did a live interview that morning because the show was on a Friday night. So D'Lo came in, we did the interview, and previous to the show, one of the local radio stations was doing a contest where you could manage a wrestler that night, and you had to submit a video. And so, again, I'm experimenting with the YouTube channel, doing some funny, silly, stupid, probably in hindsight, things on that. So I put together a video, and they picked me. And so I ended up getting to manage someone, and I wasn't sure who it was going to be. You know, I was thinking, you know, Jeff Jarrett or Scott Steiner, because they were both wrestling that night. Kurt Angle, AJ Styles. So when D'Lo came, you know, we talked before the interview, and he was kind of pushing in the direction of Velvet Sky. I think they wanted someone for the women's match. And so that was fine. And, you know, I got there and I was nervous. I wasn't sure what to expect or what was going to happen. And it was very basic stuff, you know, go out to the ring with her, kind of walk around. She was wrestling, Alexis Love, and Winter was there as well. Or maybe she was wrestling Winter. I don't remember who she was wrestling, but I think she was wrestling Alexis, and Winter was out there, and I was supposed to kind of be the foil for Winter from interfering and stopping her. And then, of course, Velvet wins. We get the victory, run around the ring, and our hands raised. My first and only managerial opportunity. It was so much fun. I really did enjoy that. And, you know, of course, the hometown crowd is obviously a plus as well. Chad flew in from LA for this, and it was a great night. And that night, you know, the TNA shows, and we've talked about this before too, you pay a little extra, you get to stick around and get autographs and pictures and do meet and greets with them. And AJ Styles, like I mentioned, we got to meet AJ Styles, we got to meet Matt Morgan and Robert Stone, now Robbie E was his name in TNA, got to get Jeff Jarrett's autograph, and then got to go into the ring for the final boss, if you will, of meeting Kurt Angle. And that was pretty cool too. And for a long time, that was our profile picture on the My123Cents Facebook page. It's me, Chad, and Kurt Angle. So yeah, again, another one of those fun opportunities. And I mean, this is, you know, I'm buzzing. This is on a Friday night, and literally the next day on that Saturday, June 11th, I get the opportunity to interview Lex Luger and Nikita Koloff. They're coming into town in Southern Illinois, Saline County. One of the churches had brought them in, and they were going to be telling their story and their testimony and whatnot. And again, I can't remember. I think somebody had alerted me, not alerted me, but somebody had informed me and let me know that church was holding that. And so I reached out to the church and asked them ahead of the time if I could interview them. And that one, I think, was just exclusively for YouTube. I don't think I put anything with that on the news. And that ended up being like a 20-minute interview. And I can remember because, again, I had my iPhone. I did not have a tripod. And I'm sitting there like this, if you're watching, with my phone, you know, my arm stretched out and my phone in Nikita and Lex, and kind of going back and forth to them as they're telling their stories. And we talked about all kinds of things wrestling related. And then they, of course, talked about why they were in El Dorado. I think that was in El Dorado as well, but why they were in town and what was going on with that. And again, another amazing opportunity, got a picture with them. Great guys. I'm thankful and happy that all, you know, those three things all happened within like 2 weeks of each other, maybe 3 weeks. And it was like a whirlwind because it's like, man, I got all the exciting, cool, fun stuff at the beginning of the brand building. And I think that helped establish the brand as not being just some fan sitting there ranting and raving about pro wrestling. I actually had some legitimate interviews and future Hall of Famers like Lex Luger. And I think eventually we'll see Mickie James and Nikita Koloff go into the Hall of Fame at some point as well. D'Lo Brown. And so my plan, you know, after that was, I wonder if I can build this and create this brand and monetize and go around and not just wait for them to come to Southern Illinois, but if I can go and meet some of these wrestlers, kind of like what Chris Van Vliet is doing on the Insights podcast and YouTube channel that he does. He's very good at what he does. And I think at one time that was my dream, my goal, my ultimate, you know, this is what I want to do. It didn't work out. And so here I am today, looking back 15 years later and remembering this summer of 2011 of how amazing these opportunities were and how grateful I am to have had those chances to meet these individuals. And I will tell you, you know, that was 2011. In 2018, so 7 years after that, I was in Vegas for the TNA tryout to ring announce for a set of tapings they were doing in Vegas. And D'Lo was there. And he he started following me on Twitter. And so, but he remembered me and we talked. And, you know, I obviously didn't get the announcing gig, but it was cool that, you know, here's a world-renowned wrestling superstar, a legend. And he remembered me by name, called me out by name, and we sat and talked. So that was awesome. And I am really thankful and grateful for that opportunity as well. And so it was just, like I said, here I'm knocking stuff over here, trying to look at my notes and remember everything that I wanted to say. And I think I did get it all in there. And of course, AAPW was growing in popularity. We were building up and actually building up to me wrestling as well. And that happened the following January. But it was kind of some of the seed work was being laid again in that summer of 2011, where I'm getting under Mike Master's skin and he's getting mad at me. And so it was again, building that story. And that was really a unique opportunity as well, because I kind of knew, but I didn't know how the sauce was made, if you will. And even to an extent, I don't know all the ins and outs and intricacies of professional wrestling, but being able to be on hand and be a part of that and have a voice at the table and be a part of the creative process and talking about things, matches or whatever. And then, you know, working on things that came later, it laid the groundwork for what we ended up doing with Stride Pro Wrestling and how it helped me be a better ring announcer for Stride, and then eventually doing commentary for Stride. Because during the pandemic, you know, we never recorded the shows back in the day with Stride. We just did them, you know? And so it wasn't until the pandemic when we were recording them and putting them on YouTube and trying to stay connected and keep the name out there and let the fans know that we were still around and existed. And so that was all part of that process. But again, those early roots and foundation laid in 2011. And again, time is such a thief, and it's hard to believe that that's been 15 years, but it has. And it was fun. And I know that the opportunities like that are all mostly behind me. There's fewer that are going to be ahead of me, but I'm okay with that, because again, I had a chance to do things that I know others have dreamed about doing and have wanted to have that opportunity. So I'm grateful for every step and for every opportunity that I've had, whether it was with Chris Hagstrom, you know, kind of laying that first groundwork later with Tyler Heath Hatton and giving opportunities and bringing in, you know, meeting Herb Simmons and getting to meet Larry Madisick, who was the announcer for, or the when the announcer, he was doing commentary or play by play on Wrestling at the Chase. And I got to meet him before he passed away. Abdullah the Butcher was at one of those shows, SICW, that Herb Simmons promotes. And Herb has been here to Southern Illinois. And Bob Orton Jr. has come into town with a co-stride show. And so just being able to meet and talk to some of these legends in the business and you know, some future legends, hopefully, as well, with the independent wrestling scene. And I sincerely mean that. I've got to meet some great people who I think will go on to do and continue to do great things, whether they stay here just in Southern Illinois doing it or go out and beyond that. But I just wanted to hop on real quick and do a podcast again. I am putting a couple in the can as I'm heading out. And so I appreciate everybody being a part of this week's experience. I know it's short and sweet, and that's probably for the best. But if you have questions or comments, let me know, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.